Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which relates stories and powerful examples about spirituality and universal energy, opening up the doors for you to learn necessary communication skills for these changing times and to improve your personal life. Joining me today is Michael Eastwood from England. Michael is the author of Crystal Oversoul New Earth Attunement Cards, who has specialized in crystal healing for over 20 years and is the director of the Aristea, a crystal supplier and healing center in Hampshire. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Cheryl. Thank you for having me.
And I'm delighted to have you. I believe this is the first show in 5 years that I'm doing on crystals, so we're going to learn a great deal today.
Michael, well, I hope so.
Yes, we will. And Michael, as listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect from each show, we seek a greater view of our inner soul presence so we can explore the outer world and inner world to create our best physical and spiritual realities using self-investigation and self-mastery of our emotions. The goal is to achieve a greater awareness of higher consciousness so we may realize our true human potential. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Michael's going to share with us how he has come to realize we are truly at a point in the evolution of human consciousness where we are ready to catapult to a heightened sense of awareness. This awakening of consciousness will be activated through tools such as color, crystals, aromatherapy, focused attention, energy healing, and other modalities. Michael has undergone an 11-part initiation process and training in the Kabbalah with the Order of Mott and teaches 2-year and postgraduate diplomas in crystal healing that allows people to set up their own crystal healing private practice. Michael, I often ask my guests to think back to childhood and remember an event or experience or person who may have helped them see at an early age some of their interests, values, or life goals, which may have already been a strong part of their life plan or soul destiny. Can you think back for a minute?
Yes, of course. It's a very interesting question, actually. I would say my father, from a very early age, he encouraged me. I felt very different as a child, and I used to spend my pocket money on books about ancient... do you know the books by Erich von Däniken?
No, I don't, but I think I'll read them now that you mention it.
Well, Erich von Däniken, I mean, they're a bit dated now, but when I was a child, they were very much about visitors from outer space building the pyramids and lots of archaeological mysteries he put down to visitors from outer space building them, basically. Some of his ideas have since been proven to be wrong, but still, as a child, I was really interested in such subjects, and my father was very supportive in other people tease me about it when they were buying sweets and such things. I was buying books about aliens and pyramids and crystals. And
well, you know,
he was really good.
You know what? As all my guests on the show, as children, we all had an awareness of a greater reality or presence beyond our earth life, a sense of energy, a search of eternal hope for finding infinite love and intelligence. And it's very funny you mention that, because I have interviewed recently several guests who are going to talk about their experiences actually having met up with some of these visitors from other dimensions. And I find it fascinating, and I recently tuned into a show that was on television that has a hangar that has documented over 700,000 pieces of information regarding people and experiences relating to what you just said. So the world is full of infinite possibilities, and we cannot hope to know all the mysteries of life here or beyond. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, he was just very supportive in the sense of he encouraged me to... He gave me the feeling there was nothing wrong in exploring what I was exploring. And,
very fortunate to have a father like that,
yeah.
And who allowed you to express your creativity and curiosity in such an open way.
Yes, now, and he also encouraged me to just keep on asking questions, and that maybe reality wasn't what everyone said it was.
Exactly.
That was great.
Yeah, things are not always what they seem, as we have learned. Now,
absolutely, yeah.
Why does the subject of crystal still hold a fascination for us? Where and when did that all begin?
For myself?
Well, and for everybody, crystals.
Oh, for everybody.
Why are crystals such a source of fascination?
Well, maybe they represent collectively a sense of otherness, a sense of connecting to most of the time something that's incredibly beautiful, that is this beauty created from incredible tension in the earth, an incredible mysterious process of chemical reactions of all sorts. There's all sorts of ways crystals are created, and sometimes, you know, there's incredibly beautiful objects appear from beneath the surface, which have just defy logic. How, you know, how something so beautiful can come about, you know. So maybe it's partly that as well.
Well, because there are stones that are stones, and then there are more beautiful stones than other stones, but crystals are almost like precious representations of beauty within us and within the earth. And I know that crystals can alleviate stress when used properly. They can boost creativity, cure disease, raise levels of consciousness, sometimes enhance psychic powers. And I have a story that happened just yesterday. I was at a client's house, and she's a designer, and she laid out in front of me 7 crystals that she had made to be used as bookmarks, and she asked me to select one. And I looked at them, and I was drawn to 2 of them, and I held them in my hand, and I felt the energy. And one went to my solar plexus, or core. The other one went to my lower back and legs. Both were good. But I selected the one for my core, or solar plexus, which would help me with my goals, self-confidence, self-esteem, and going forward with my spiritual work. But that's what I want our listeners to know. These crystals emit a great aura and energy, and sensitive people, just by holding them, can feel the difference.
Yes, because they're electromagnetic, so that crystals respond very well to human. I mean, at a very low level, but we are emitting electricity energy all the time, and it's the same. I mean, every living thing is, and so crystals, because they're emitting electromagnetic energy, we relate very well to that sort of process. And when we come into contact with a crystal, whether we hold it, whether we wear it, whether we meditate with it, that process of our energy is heightened, it becomes more exaggerated when we're in the presence of a crystal, because it's a bit like tuning into certain radio frequencies, which just enhance our own frequency. So, and obviously, that implies that we need to be careful what it is we want to enhance, because a crystal cannot identify whether we want to enhance something that's good for us or not so good for us. So,
absolutely.
For example, if we're in a very negative mood, for example, a crystal doesn't know that. It would just amplify our negativity, for example. But hopefully, when we're working with a crystal and we're positive, it will amplify our positivity or our self-esteem or our feelings of goodness about ourselves and life.
Well, I also often say to clients or people I'm just talking to, there is a universal energy all around us and within us, and it is a life force. And as we become more sensitive, yes, we can know the vibrations and energies that work best for improving and knowing more about ourselves. So all tools and techniques and crystals help us to connect to this universal force of life or creation, and we're hoping to always raise the vibration to more proactive energies, as you just said, more positive ways to connect. Now, what might be the purpose for a soul of infinite creation, our inner being or our inner energy and potential, to have a life in a physical body and world where often our spirit or true nature is limited by the physical body? What would you think about that?
It's my experience and my belief, because I've undergone a lot of processes, inner world processes. And I can say hand on heart that it's my experience, so not just the belief, I've experienced, that we are indeed infinite beings that incarnate and discarnate. You know, we come in and out of bodies as we need to experience and learn. And at the same time, our body, our physical body, is utterly important to our infinite presence, and at the same time it's a very tenuous process, because on one side I think where I believe that we're asked to really experience our embodiment, to really love and experience our physicality, and at the same time not to become attached to it.
Yes, and to know our soul, remember our soul if we've forgotten it because we're living a physical life. Absolutely.
Yeah. And to really feel, understand that our life is a gift. I mean, our physical life is really a gift, and that we're not here to be abuse that gift, but to really make the most of it and really make the most of our embodiment, and to really cherish it and to enjoy it.
Beautifully, beautifully, so beautifully said. Now, in my new book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, I suggest a physical life is a way for us, as you just said, to feel emotions and also refine our soul essence with greater compassion and love, which each soul will take with us when we return to spirit, where consciousness survives physical death. And I wrote this, I think you were saying the same thing, and I wrote it this way. The first and argumentably the ultimate goal for those committed to spiritual growth is to feel love for themselves and then extend this love to other human beings.
Yeah.
Well, this may sound very simple and even a little bit obvious, the practice itself can be quite difficult and can take years or maybe forever to achieve. So this unconditional love requires surrendering the false realities offered from a limited material view of the world. But it is this ability to find love everywhere and in everyone which offers the soul to connect to a higher knowing, namely that all that exists on this and other dimensions are miraculous and infinite. And that's the word you just used. We are infinite beings.
And I think it's important that we look at it as a journey. And it's not something we get to a point and say, right, I've loved myself enough. It's a process. It's a journey. And there's a lovely saying in Kabbalah, which is that we are a work in progress. That's it. We're a work in progress. And there's no beginning or end. It's just a work in progress.
Absolutely. There is no beginning and end. It's like a ring. It's round. It never ends. And we begin again and again and again.
Absolutely.
Eternally. It's such a beautiful thought. And when people can really get that under their belt, that knowingness, they're going to let go of a lot of fears that restrict them from really enjoying life and treating life and each other as precious entities. And that is the hope of this show, that people will awaken to their true potential and who they really are as both spiritual and physical beings.
Yes, now, because most of the time when people come from that perspective, they generally treat other people and view other people in a different way. So, so we're not people who are at least attempting to live life from a higher consciousness or perspective generally treat other people very well.
I would agree.
So it's in everyone's interest to try and look at life from that perspective.
And now we're going to get something that talks about what you just said. How does crystal healing relate to the current issues humanity is facing, and how do the Oversoul cards, which you have provided, how will they lead to what is the new earth? And that's where we hope we're going.
I believe the new earth is already here. And it's a state of consciousness which is like pervading, it's like an undercurrent which is here. And as everything that was certain about society and life, everything seems to be up for question. And there seems to be a great collective uncertainty about reality, about government, for example, and you know how we're told things are going to be and how things have been done. And for me, where we're at the moment is in this new world, which is in between, if you like, the existing world, and it's just inhabited by people who are attempting, at least, to live life from a higher perspective that integrates their beingness, their soul, their understanding, and their connectedness, that integrates their life into that reality. And that in itself is creating another world, is creating another humanity, one that is more connected. But we're right on the beginning of that. So I'm not quite sure what the future holds for how the old Earth and the new Earth, how that's going to work. I don't myself understand it, but I know it's here.
Well,
it's happening.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have felt this in the last 20 years as I have sought out speakers on my show and read so many books and studied so many energy healing modalities and have processed and changed a great deal of my belief systems to a knowingness about who we are and how we are to progress and go forward. And I think you're right. Since the year 2000, we entered a new millennium, and I hear it and I see it in many people's actions. They are questioning. They realize they need to be the example for their children and set new philosophies beyond what we have learned. And we have to now go with what we feel within that is right for ourselves and others. And it's happening slowly. You're right.
It is. Yeah. And I think part of it is that the old map that we followed just religiously for thousands of years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like it's all been torn up and said, this doesn't work, it's not working. And how we were doing things, it's like the map is gone. And we're on a map, we've like stepped onto this new earth, but the map hasn't been written by any ancestors. It's so new. It's a bit like when I'm teaching classes around this, I describe it a bit like a record for those who remember discs before downloads. And it's a bit like the old earth was like the grooves in a disc going round and around and round, and a bit like, you know, we'd follow these grooves and we'd think, oh, that's the way life is, that's the way reality is, or government is, or how our country is, and these grooves are going round and around, and they don't really change. We try different ways of looking at it and dealing with it. We might have a change of government, you know, whatever, but nothing really changes. The same problems are there, and if anything, they're getting worse.
And yes, they are. Yeah.
Yeah, and the new Earth is like a completely new disk that hasn't been, there's no grooves yet. And
the
difference is, there's no ancestors, there's nobody who's laid down a map, and that gives us great responsibility, and at the same time, great fright, because it's like there's nobody in charge, it's us, it's down, really down to us.
Well, you know, Michael, I think in the past, always, there have been people who have known what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
But they have been such a small, select group.
Absolutely,
that they weren't
yes.
able... I mean, you go to Da Vinci or Shakespeare, William Blake, Nostradamus. I mean, so many of the ancient people, they knew what we're
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah.
But they were just planting seeds. Because
yeah.
it is a shift in consciousness
yeah.
to understand energy and who we are as both physical and spiritual beings. And perhaps there had to be a time when we went through this physical, materialistic approach to life before we could raise the vibration of that. I'm not sure. But perhaps there were reasons for it. But
well, I think part of it is that the people who are either seen as geniuses or were persecuted
yes.
as madmen or madwomen. And the difference is now, rather than there just being a few, one every generation appearing like that, we are now in a time when there are millions like that. And it's like nobody knows what to do with us.
No,
no. Because there's so many of us here.
Well,
and there's so many
well Michael,
even though
there are many of us now, there are still more who have not embraced these thoughts or philosophies yet. So we're
yeah.
still
and
in
may,
a...
And they may not do. I think that's one of the things a lot of people are realizing now is they may not do.
No, we're still in a minority, but that's
yeah.
okay. We
yeah,
are
it's
shifting.
Okay. Yeah.
It
yeah.
is shifting. You write about new crystal oversouls in the book.
Yeah. yeah.
Who are these oversouls?
The oversouls are the overlighting consciousness of different crystals. So, say for example, we're working with amethyst. When we work with the oversoul cards, which are part of my crystal oversouls decks, there's two of them, then we have a chance to work inwardly through meditation with the energetic consciousness of amethyst. For example. So that's who the Oversouls are. They're very ancient beings which are
present
and here to help in this process as well. Really.
Absolutely.
To show us that we're not alone, that the whole cosmos is watching us collectively and has given us lots of tools, and the Oversouls are just one of them, that are here to help in the process, help us expand our imagination, expand our consciousness, and to step into the mastery that we were always meant to be.
Yes, because it seems the time is really now, and you wrote this. This book was written, and your cards are there, to reflect the time we live in right now. Many crystal books, good as they are, do not cover the aura and chakra changes that we are currently experiencing. Each of the attunements, you wrote this in the book, each of the attunements that make up the information in this book and process are in their own way here to help you as you navigate your way through the energies of the new earth. You will notice times when your life force feels stuck, heavy, or restricted. Each of the oversouls are here to support you through those times. And for these unsettling or deeply uncomfortable feelings, these are signals that your energy has slipped back or been pulled back by the energies of the old earth. So the attunements
yeah.
in your cards are really here to assist people in getting unstuck, releasing old energy, and getting into the correct dimensional reality. Yes.
Thank you for reminding me of that. I'd forgotten I'd written that. That's really nice.
It's wonderful. And it's
yeah.
it's what every energy healing modality or any person helping others to remember their soul essence is trying to show us. We need to let go of the past restrictions and come into our own being and knowing this, so we will not be stuck and we can move forward. I want to thank you, Michael Eastwood, author of Unfolding the Light, and sharing your new release of Crystal Oversoul New Earth Attunement Cards, which share healing possibilities through crystal mandalas in highly original ways. To learn more and to purchase the book or set of cards, go to aristia.co.uk. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have seen how by raising our consciousness and aligning to the spiritual helpers who are here for us all, we are able to discover a way to use the healing qualities of crystals and the wisdom of universal life coaches to release negative energies, old thought patterns, and belief systems which hold us back from entering the new earth, the new living conditions that will offer many possibilities for living cooperatively in a truly egalitarian state, creating opportunities for prosperity, health, unity, and oneness, and offer world communities a way to heighten consciousness and truth. As one of the beautiful mandalas offered on the 49th card, Precious Opal, entitled Being of Light, presented by Michael, we may recognize a force that has always been around and within us and that leads us to discover our highest divine nature so we can fulfill our personal destinies and create a world of hope and love for others. I will read what is on the card that Michael wrote. Beloved one, here you are in the company of beings from many universes and dimensions, and they have come just for you. Make your way to your seat. It is waiting for you. Take your rightful place beside your ancient friends. These beings are indeed a part of your extended family of light. Although at times you may have felt alone on earth, the presence of those in spirit have always been there. For those of you listening, you may know this already. You may have accessed the deepest memory of your soul and are aligned to that force of eternal nature. For those who have yet to connect to this memory, Michael and I wish you the joy of the moment of awareness that will one day be yours. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to many authors who share their views of our dual nature as spiritual and physical life beings and how we may learn to use the universal laws of energy for a greater quality of health, success, higher consciousness, awareness of self and the universe. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.